Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's the Round the Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Marcus Morris Sr., Cameron Payne, Joey Devine, Nick Batum, Patrick Patty Mills, Sean Keane, Danilo Gallinari, he once sprayed his ass. Kleber. I'm not pronouncing that German enough. Patreons, Elliot Langford. Thank you, Elliot. Dubaroo. Thank you, Dubaroo. Kopernik. Thank you, Kopernik. Musical guest, Laura Branigan. And now the temporary host of Brown Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast. And I was a little slow that time saying hi. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, your friend and mine, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I grilled tonight, Joey. Grill season has begun.
The uncle, the more dad than uncle tonight, then.
I gotta say, yeah, it was a going away party for one of my fiance's coworkers. So it was me and a lot of ladies.
Wow. I'm
proud
of you.
Making Aperol spritzes, marinating some meat, doing a lot of cleanup, you know, and watching NBA basketball at the same time.
So, yeah,
what can I say? I'm a Renaissance man.
We missed last week because I have undiagnosed ADHD, and I thought we recorded an episode. Probably shouldn't say that out loud, but
well, you know,
a lot has happened. Sean.
A lot has happened. we sort of previewed only the play-in games.
Yeah, we did,
and not the playoffs. Uh-huh. And now 6 of our series have completed.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So let's get straight to it. Let's talk playoffs.
Yeah.
It's the NBA playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Basketball for humans.
We're going to be championship.
Data for robots.
Both teams play hard, my man.
Both teams played hard.
All right, Sean.
Yeah.
What series would you like to start with? We have a guest we recorded with last week to Knicks Sixers.
Should we do that first? Because that series concluded today. Or
sure,
should we put
let's
it
talk
last?
Knicks.
Let's
Sixers
put it first. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
First off, Sean, the number one thing I want to tell you,
yes,
about this series is yes, instant classic series. Just an
really,
an amazing
really good
series. The Knicks finally vanquished the Sixers tonight, 4-2. But what I want you to do, Sean,
yeah,
is if I ever commit a series of terrible crimes,
uh-huh,
I want you to immediately start tweeting about how I have Bell's palsy.
Yes, yes. I mean, so much happened in this series, Joey. The celebs came out.
They
for
did.
One.
They did.
Ben
Tracy
Stiller,
Morgan.
He Tracy was out. Morgan. Ben Stiller, the NBA's most positive online celebrity fan.
We'll
get into that
later.
We'll
talk about that with our guest, yeah.
Yeah, but
except, I would say after when Tyrese Maxey beat them in Game 5, there's a photo of Ben Stiller, and he is... It's the angriest a person has ever been in a photo, I think.
And
have you ever seen an angrier person than Ben Stiller in that
Ben Stiller
photo?
Maybe more than once has played a movie character who gets insanely angry.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that his Mystery Men character's superpower?
It's possible. I don't really remember.
I've never seen that movie, I never will. I remember is that the Goody Mob appears as the not-so-goody mob.
Mm-hmm. It's also Dane Cook's first film appearance,
oh, great.
I believe
it's the one time that Kel Mitchell's starometer exceeded Kenan Thompson's.
Yes, it is. That is true.
And the last time.
Honestly,
yeah.
Kind of an insane cast of people who aren't normally the lead in other movies. It's Ben Stiller.
Uh-huh.
It's
He's
Hank
a lead.
Yeah, no, other than Ben Stiller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's Ben Stiller. It's Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
It's William H. Macy.
Uh-huh. It's usually Greg, not even second build.
Yeah, it's Greg Kinnear. It's Claire Forlani. It's Kel Mitchell. It's Paul Rubens. It's Janine Garofalo. It's Wes Studi. It's Jeffrey Rush. It's Lena Olin. It's Eddie Izzard. And it's Tom Waits. Those are your mystery men, Sean.
It is a lot of people who... People have given a real fair shake to being the lead in films too. Like
I would say, Greg Kinnear being the leader in that.
Yeah, he
that
got a lot of chances.
They gave him a lot of shots.
William H. Macy understands his role. Like, how many movies has he been the lead in? One?
Well, you
the
know,
cooler?
He doesn't understand his role in that he can't. His wife isn't allowed to. Pay people to get his daughter into college.
Yeah, that's your main priority, William H.
Anyway, but, yeah, I only looked this up. Yes, his character, Ben Stiller's character name in Mystery Men is Mr. Furious.
Yes.
Whose power is his rage.
And I feel like he was so positive and encouraging to the Knicks this year that when Tyrese Maxey... So let's just go through some things that happened in this series. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid scored 50 points in the game,
mm-hmm,
where he also grabbed Mitchell Robinson's sprained ankle as he was jumping and pulled it down, and also nearly got a flagrant foul for another play where he kneed Isaiah Hartenstein in the balls, but also... After dragging Mitchell Robinson down, he also kicks him in the balls.
Yes.
And that was Embiid's best game of the series. He really was unstoppable, but also amazingly dirty.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm sure Joel Embiid gets pushed and shoved a lot, but you really can't hit people in the nuts in the NBA. I mean, actually, I guess you can. Chris Paul... has been in the league for a very long time. But it's almost like Daryl Morey finally won because the Sixers announced they were going to file a grievance. A grievance, not a protest, Joey,
yeah,
but a grievance. Like something that you, like, where can you file a grievance? The United Nations? The Better Business Bureau? Like, filing a grievance, when you hear that, it's like, oh, that's going to be ignored. Like, mm-hmm. A grievance just sounds like, it's like a word they invented to describe ineffectual complaining.
Yeah.
So that happened. Tyrese Maxey, the Knicks won a game where they were impossibly down in the final minute,
mm-hmm.
and got a three, a steal, and another three to
win.
Yeah,
they stole an inbounds because Tyrese Maxey was trying to foul Grift.
Yes, that's the thing. He was fouled, uh-huh. but also if he had just acted like a normal person,
mm-hmm.
he would have just both held onto the ball and probably gotten a foul call.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't throw your arms up like you're getting fouled when you have the ball.
Right.
you're putting a lot on the refs there. Dante DiVincenzo was awesome in game two,
mm-hmm.
then couldn't make a shot for, like, 5 days, mm-hmm. and then made 5 3-pointers in game six and played the entire game. Uh-huh. Tibbs was really tibbing out.
The Knicks, by the way, won this. I don't know if you saw, Sean, but they won the series by uh-huh. 1 point.
By one total light. Point.
That
yeah.
was this.
Every
was
game
the
was close. Josh Hart had a 53-minute game and a 48-minute game mm-hmm. and somehow was the best rebounder in the entire series.
Can I?
He's 6'4".
Do you want to hear some Embiid's fourth quarter stats, though?
Yes, please.
23% field goal percentage, 11% three-point percentage.
Is that tonight
in
or
all
the whole
fourth
series?
Quarters all of the playoffs?
I mean, okay, so I think there are two things in play.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that once again, the Sixers have gotten themselves to a point where when Joel Embiid isn't in the game, they are terrible in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But all, and maybe he's rushed back from a meniscus
injury.
He's
definitely hurt.
But also, I think we're seeing a good progression in the NBA where they just aren't calling like grifty fouls late.
Well, also, I don't think Joel Embiid is quite used to playing guys as big as Hartenstein and Robinson.
He got really, like he did dirty things to both of them in multiple games.
Yeah. I will say tonight, there was a point where Hartenstein got hit in the face with the ball and then fell down
yeah.
because he assumed it was Joel Embiid hitting him in
yeah,
the face.
Yeah, because he'd been hit in the face so many times already. Yeah, but it was just the ball at that point. There were crazy replays. Mm-hmm. There was a weird slow-mo.
Tracy Morgan gave Tyrese Maxey the finger. Yeah.
That's important. What was funny tonight is that Knicks fans invaded Philadelphia to such mm-hmm. a degree that the Sixers owner and Michael Rubin, white party fanatic, maker of the
like
worst sports apparel in history.
Man who looks like a Madame Tussauds wax figure.
That is true. He yeah. may or may not have had some work done. Who could say? but this was another. Michael Rubin apparently bought like 2,500 tickets to tonight's game and then lost. Another Fanatics fail. The most recent one being able to see every baseball player's penis and testicles when they're wearing Fanatics pants.
I thought that was Nike that was doing that, but maybe it's Fanatics.
I believe it's Fanatics. I think it might be a combo, but it's Fanatics. Yeah.
Let's also.
What's great is
you know
that,
what else I'm happy about,
yeah,
Sean?
Yeah, yeah.
Nick Nurse's goatee is. I no longer have to see that on television.
It's really bad. It is like
I hate it.
If that guy didn't have divorced guy energy already, realizing how much time he takes with like a Norelco shaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, like, if he's spending that much time on his goatee, he's doing something weird with his pubes, dude. I had the thought, and now you all have to have the thought. But he is wearing like six.
To say about the Sixers tonight is they were wearing black shooting shirts with a gold 76 like interlocked in between them, and I was like, Nick Nurse made them wear these shirts because these are like the OVO Raptors colors and the NN logo mixed together.
Yeah, like none of those are Philadelphia colors. Are you sad to? Oh, so some other things are. The Sixers team is like very weird.
I hate them.
They got like a huge Nick Batum game, whose wife announced his retirement before the season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that will take. Like, I kind of feel like
Kelly Oubre was maybe their best player in the fourth quarter tonight, by the way. I mean Maxey was good in the last 2 minutes, but
Maxey had a rough game, but he also played. He's had to do so much.
Massive Buddy Hield game tonight. Probably should have played more, Nick Nurse. What's going on?
Well, he had 2 points in the first three games combined. Didn't play in game four and game five. Came in the second quarter because the Knicks were down 20 points and hit 5 3-pointers in the quarter.
Yeah, he looked like game six Clay.
and then kind of didn't play
the rest of the game.
I don't understand that. And also, his defense was very confusing the entire game. So he ended up going 6 for 9 from 3-point range. 4 rebounds. He got an assist. He was plus 12 with 20 points. That is the best plus minus on the Sixers. But there was a point late when he was like closing out so badly. It was confusing Jalen Brunson because Jalen Brunson was behind the 3-point line. He faked Buddy Hield, and Buddy Hield like lost his balance to the point on the contest where he was sort of still in Brunson's way. Mm-hmm. And then Brunson faked him again, and Buddy Hield again lost his balance. And at that point, Jalen Brunson's like, I just need to pass the ball. I don't know what's happening. did you know that? Never mind. He didn't actually. I thought DJ Wilson logged a couple of seconds in this game. Mm-hmm. What a weird team. So now.
Well, the one thing I want to talk about, about Nick Nurse for a second.
Yeah, please.
So OG Anunoby is playing on an elbow he kind of can't shoot with and is still playing like insane minutes, right?
Yeah, he's had. Is it? Let me see. Let me just make sure that I have his injury right.
It's an elbow.
Arm injury. I think it's his elbow.
He's wearing a big Barry Bonds elbow thing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But he's still logging insane amounts of minutes, right?
Yes.
Like Tibbs, crazy minutes.
Yeah, it's elbow surgery.
I think Nick Nurse can only blame himself for that, because he played him 41 minutes the last 4 years. He like prepared him for this series
100%. And it was like, well, this is where you're going, get used to it, sir. You'll never rest.
Hilarious. By the way, this series was so weird. OG at one point had posterized Embiid on to make it like an 8-point game or something like that. And it was like, well, that's the end of the game. And then the Knicks proceeded to cough up the lead so fast that the game was tied like 45 seconds later.
Yes.
In any other playoff series, that would have been the end of the series.
Yeah.
Okay, Sean. Let's talk about our next series.
One thing I will also say is very weird is I don't know if this man is hurt. He must be hurt. Is Bogdan hurt?
Yes, he had surgery on his foot today.
Okay.
Um,
so yeah. That's how the Knicks roll, though. Yeah. Next man up, and by next man up, the same man up for 48 minutes.
So let's go. Let's talk about our friend here.
We had
a guest last week. We talked to huge Knicks fan and stand-up comedian Jeff Cerulli about, they were up 2-0 when we talked to him.
Yes.
So we're glad they didn't lose the series, or else this would have made him seem very, this would have been very odd. But yeah, here's us talking to our friend Jeff Cerulli, stand-up comedian, about the Knicks.
All right, we are here with comedian Jeff Cerulli. And Jeff, you are a big New York Knicks fan and comedian in the mecca of comedy, New York City, just as Madison Square Garden is the mecca of basketball. Jeff, how are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Knicks fan.
Yeah, thank you for stopping standing in Times Square hiding, handing out flyers so you can do 5 minutes on some weird show.
Is it weird to book yourself? So Joey and I were doing comedy in the Bay Area when the Warriors first started to be good. And we did not realize that booking shows, we would have to ever account for playoff games in April or May. Normally we were carving out. It was like, we cannot do gigs the night of the draft lottery or the draft because we're, that's our NBA finals right now. Was that weird as a Knicks fan to have to clear some April evenings?
Well, I got offered a spot on Saturday that was not the best. Mm-hmm. Like, it was pretty far low pay, and I just turned it down because I'm like, I'd rather just watch the Knicks game. Like, it's just like, it's, you know, it's fine. Like, I can, you know, I don't have to drive 4 hours for, you know, little amount of money. It's okay. And I was actually at game two. I went. So that was pretty exciting to, like, be there for that. It was just like, just trying to think of, like, improbable wins that I saw in person. And when your team's definitely going to lose and then they pull it out, like, you know, I know the report, I kind of don't agree with, like, I understand some of the grievances, like Maxi, like his jersey got ripped. But I also like, how is it that Maxi didn't push off hard? Like, it just, it felt strange that it's like, that was a clear push off to me. And it's like, you're going to tic tac about, like, well, you know, we, Nick Nurse should have got a timeout and, you know, Maxi got pushed. It's like, I don't, they were like, well, the heart shove wasn't anything. So I don't know. That felt crazy to me that the NBA ruled that.
I'm actually very, I like how they're calling things on the floor in general, especially the question about whether a coach can call a timeout, like in the middle of a play. It's kind of like, no one should be able to call a timeout when it's like, you had your chance to call a timeout and advance the ball if you wanted, but he was standing there like almost calling a timeout. And at a certain point, here's another take I have about that. And then also the coaches are winners, but maybe NBA coaches shouldn't be dressing in the most drab, boring way possible, to the point where you can't even tell who the head coach is by glancing at the sidelines. Like, put on a suit, Nick Nurse, if you want respect. Like, they would tell you that at a job interview. You're not going to get a job. You're not going to get a timeout if you're not just slovenly. That's, you know.
Also, no matter what happened in that game, Daryl Morey was going to file a protest with the league.
Yeah,
like, that's
true.
Just what he does. Sean and I have a long experience with Daryl Morey protesting, sending in league protests for playoff games.
Also, if you don't want the NBA to be biased against you, don't tamper every summer and cheat on your injury reports all season. Like they, if you're antagonizing the people, like, I don't know.
James Harden should change his sign to Daryl Morey as a whiner, is what I'm saying. Also, on the, not to change subjects real quick, but on the case of don't book stand-up shows while your team is in the playoffs, Jeff.
Yeah.
I was featuring at a terrible show when Klay Thompson went insane in Game 6 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I got to watch the first bad half of that game, but have still not seen the good half where Klay Thompson scores like 30 points in 8 seconds or whatever. It's the only Warrior game I think I've missed in this entire time that I've never watched because I was so mad I missed it. And I was eating shit, I should say. It was a bad set.
I missed the first half of Game 6 of the 2015 Finals because I was hosting a show at the Lower East Side. So, old cake shop.
Cake shop. That's gone.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's not there at all. Yeah. It was two blocks away from Todd Berry's old apartment. So Todd was just there every week, just standing in the back, like, oh, hey. Why are you looking at your phone? And I'm like, oh, it's basketball. Todd, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. I've been doing so many shows, like running so many like random bar shows in the city for so long that like so many of the places are just gone. They're like one place I used to really love that I ran a show at, this place called Bar and A, 7-Eleven now. Not even like it's just a different bar. It's like it makes me so sad whenever I walk by there. I'm like, man, this was like one of my favorite places I ever ran a show. It was like a really cool venue. And it's like, damn, it's just a 7-Eleven, a Citibank, or you know, a Duane Reade. It's just that's the three you get now.
San Francisco, we had this bar we used to use a lot, the Hemlock Tavern, which is a live music venue too, and it is now a condominium complex that has like a 35% occupancy rate because they tore it down right before the pandemic, and then. They're like, what? People don't want to get $4,500 condos that still smell like the smoking room of the bar we tore down? Okay, so this is probably a very exciting Knicks season. Before we get to the players, do you have a favorite New York Knicks celebrity fan? Because I think I do at this point. It's not the same one I used to have.
I get a kick out of how much Steve Sciarippa has been able to milk being on a few episodes of The Sopranos that he's just, it'll do like celebrity. It'll be like Celebrity Row. And it's like Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, Edie Falco. Oh, and the guy who was in 10 episodes of The Sopranos still here. We can't get rid of him. He's here every game. The guy buys the ticket. We don't give it to him. He just shows up.
The guy who was weirdly on the back bad end of the best damn sports show ever. guy who replaced Kruk.
I've been partial to Matthew Modine, who has also been making it into those. And I think he really has been going to Knicks games for a really long time. But his degree of fame at this point is so different than it was 15 or 20 years ago. We were like, oh, yeah, that guy who's in Christopher Nolan movies for no reason. But I like how much Ben Stiller, possibly from being in an NBA commercial, now pretty much exclusively tweets about the New York Knicks and only in an incredibly positive way.
Yeah, he's a super fan that he'll only be 100% positive. David Krumholtz is a good follow because he's like industry stories where he'll be like, all right, I was auditioning for this thing, and he'll just kind of shit on himself, or he'll just talk about how much he likes the Knicks. Mm-hmm. You get two with David Krumholtz. But Ben Stiller, just 100% fanboy.
Yeah.
It's just all like, it's all just hey, like, this
I
guy
want Josh Hart to marry
season.
My daughter.
And then every couple months, it's like, oh, yeah, I made the show Severance. It's still on, but whatever. And then the next five posts are just Dante in all caps. Yeah.
He's at least watching. Like the one we all hate that we do not claim is Stephen A. Smith. Like that guy is just, I mean, he's doing a character shtick, but ESPN puts him on as like, here's the default Knicks fan, knows everything about the Knicks. And like, obviously, like he got made fun of because he was like that clip that went viral that he's like, Grimes is having a good season and that guy got traded like months ago.
Yeah.
But that dude doesn't represent, like, he just, you know, he does the character, yells about everything. Every trade is bad. And then if it works out, oh no, I called it. I told you I love this trade. And it's just now he has us going to the finals, which is absurd. And it's just like, yeah, he just, they can't get enough of him. And no like fan actually like likes him and wants him doing this. But, you know, it's kind of, that's how it goes with ESPN. Perkins too. He's an idiot also, but he's pro Knicks now. I don't know. Like, I think he just started to love Brunson. Much as like, I don't know. What's the sentiment on Brunson around the country? Do you guys, I mean, I feel like that's an easy guy to root for because he's like second round pick, small, went to kind of his home team because his dad, like, I don't know. How do you guys feel as like not fans of the Knicks?
Well, I haven't unveiled this on the show yet, but I actually think, so the MVP this year is a little troubling because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, in my opinion, is not good enough to win it.
Okay.
And he's great. He had a great season, but he's a third place MVP vote. Like, that's like his ceiling as a player. Like, you can't talk about, like, I just don't think he's ever, like, you know, to be a small point guard to win MVP, you have to be Stephen Curry. And Jokic, I don't think they'll give it to him because if he gets a third MVP, you have to start talking about him as being, like, as good as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or whatever. You know what I mean? Or Larry Bird. Or, like, there's very few three-time-plus MVP winners. So I've been saying we should just give Jalen Brunson a Derrick Rose MVP. Like, we should just be like, this is the fun MVP. We're giving a fun MVP this year, one that doesn't really count, but we're giving it to the most fun guy, Jalen Brunson.
Well, like they did with Steve Nash and then accidentally gave him another MVP the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Westbrook got one. That was that was a story award. Sometimes it turns into a story award. Sometimes it's a story award.
Derrick Rose MVP. Let's just give Jalen Brunson the Derrick Rose MVP this year.
Yeah. I like him, and part of how I like him is part of the reason I like him is I really enjoy Mark Cuban's hubris coming back to bite him and just not realizing that he had a really good player who was really honestly a very ideal sidekick to Luka Doncic and would have like he had to do so much just to get a more expensive, worse fit in Kyrie Irving to do that. So I really feel like the underdog part of his sketch. And I also weirdly supported Villanova for no reason. I don't have any real actual college basketball loyalties that are founded on anything. But it's like I had one friend from Philadelphia who rooted for Villanova. And then after that, I'm like, okay, like you have to pick somebody. My school is never going to do anything. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Arizona, UConn, and Villanova for no reason whatsoever. Like, just no foundation in that at all.
I will say I would like Jalen Brunson more, which I already like him a lot, but I would like him more if he had a different haircut. Like,
okay.
The thinning hair and the really tight braids, I'm always just like, this is a bad look. Let's get another haircut here.
There is a worse version of that in the NBA right now with Mr. James Harden right now, who is like just daring you to
call him bald.
Think about how bad his hairline is getting by yanking it back. I don't know. Do you think Jalen Brunson could pull off, if they were legal, a karate headband, Joey?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't like the karate headband, but I would prefer he had a karate headband to what his current look is. What do you feel when, Jeff, when they signed Jalen Brunson, how did you feel about it? Like, because
it was one of those moves that you're hoping because you saw him what he did against the Jazz when Luka was out. So you're like, all right, like this is by the way, it was clearly going to happen like midseason. You just knew we hired his dad to come back. Like it just was like no one's going to give him as much money as we're going to do it. Like we're all in. The Mavs are going to have a number they're not going to pass. And then, you know, they didn't kind of like what happened with us with Quickly this season where we traded him, where it's like he just doesn't have a path here. He's a good player, but someone else is going to start him and pay him more. So, you know, we traded him. But I was into it in the sense of like, OK, this is like we haven't had an adult point guard in so long. Like I'm a Jets fan also. So I always say, like, if you're a Jets quarterback or a Knicks point guard, if you just come in and you're like good, you're one of the best ever. That's how sad the state is. Like, you just got to come in. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick had one good season for the Jets and it has like the all the passing yards. He has all the passing records. Just one good season, not even like great. So Brunson was like, all right, like, look, we went through Duhon and Marbury and two seasons of Elfrid Payton and an old Derrick Rose. It's like, okay, this is like going in the right direction. So I think we were all like into it, like reasonable fans. But then you couldn't expect this. You couldn't expect, like, you're getting the Mavs series versus the Jazz, like, every night. Yeah. And that was just not something you could realistically expect. You're hoping, like, oh, you'll get that sometimes. You'll get that every four games, five games. He's just going to, like, you know, score 35 points. But, like, it's crazy how you're getting that every night. And I think now it's like the toll on this series is like the Sixers. I think Nick Nurse is a really good coach. And I think they're throwing a lot of like interesting, like kind of blitzes at him and zones, and Oubre's doing a good job. And I think he's just like, this is where you miss Randle, where it's like, I'm not the biggest Julius Randle guy, but he's the only other guy on the team that can create his own offense. Everyone else is just like a role player. They can hit shots. Josh Hart is like, somehow his shot is fixed. His wrist is like,
that,
you know,
story is so
it's crazy. It's like rookie of the year. It's like the dude can do everything well, right? Like good defense, good rebounding, like good in transition, just could not shoot for shit when he's open. And now all of a sudden he's like shooting. So you're like, all right, like, great. So this is where I think you miss Randle, where it's like there he's just Brunson's percentage has been miserable. I do think it'll get better as it goes on, and I hope they can finish out this series. Obviously, Sixers are in a huge hole, and like Embiid does not look right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's not moving well. He's settling for jumpers. So you got
also,
a great
he's
shot.
In the playoffs. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you just watch him. He's just not he's not moving well. Yeah. Like you watch game besides the first quarter of game one. He's not moving well, and he's just taking jump shots. And like, if that's the Embiid you're getting, you can live with that. And to answer the question about Brunson, it's like we never expected. Like, even the most even Ben Stiller was not expecting Jalen Brunson to like be the dude here. You know?
Yeah. Now, speaking of game two, does it feel like that is historically a game that the Knicks are on the other side of?
Oh,
just
course.
Being down like five with a couple seconds to go, drilling two threes.
No, we lose that.
Yeah.
Always lose that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
Reggie
this
Miller
is the thing.
Is the one hitting the two threes. Yeah.
There's or so few. Yeah. There's the LJ 4-point play. There's so few. See, it's interesting because you guys were where we were at. You had the We Believe Warriors, and you guys are like a cute story at the fun, the Run TMC. Like, you guys are where we are. And then all of a sudden, you just won so much.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that like, but think about where you were before you won your first title. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where we're at, where you don't have that much, you know. You got that title with Rick Barry, but you weren't alive to see that.
No,
I have two in the 70s that I wasn't alive to see. Like, you don't have much. So it's like, you're used to like, you know, it's just like, you don't get the fortuitous bounces. You don't get, you know, the ref breaks going your way for once, you know, you're not used to this stuff.
Yeah. This is, I mean, Joey got to see the Warriors win a playoff series in 2013, and they managed to do it in a very, like, we've never done this before way where the last minute of the game took 12 minutes. They could barely, they're using all their timeouts, just trying to inbound the ball, missing free throws
against the Denver Nuggets.
So just everybody in the arena, not even that happy by the end of it, as much as just like, oh, thank God we didn't see them lose. But yeah, it seems like this team, it's interesting because it hasn't been put together by the standard Knicks way, and it doesn't even really seem like that much of it has to do with hiring the guy who used to be the head of CAA and World Wide West. Basically,
no,
that connection has led to
watching Villanova Final Four games.
right, because so like that helped them get probably it means that OG Anunoby's already has kind of a handshake deal for next year. And other than that, it's like Thibodeau. And other than that, it doesn't seem like any of the weird Knicks things that normally happen.
Well,
and my question for you is all that New York Knicks fans need to do to keep this going is just to continue filing lawsuits against James Dolan? Because all that facial recognition stuff and banning the lawyers was, you know, terrible behavior, but it does seem to have maybe distracted James Dolan from demanding they trade like six first round picks to get
CJ McCollum,
Zach LaVine. Yeah.
That's the old way. And like, we just like, what kills me is like, this could have been fixed so long ago. Like, you didn't have to be bad for 20 years. Like, if you just hired someone who was like forward thinking in 2001 and just like, all right, look, we got to just tank. Like, there's a huge draft coming. There's this kid in Akron, like, you know, hey, like, let's go for him. Let's not just be bad. Like, it's like a loaded draft, and we got Mike Sweetney. It's like first five picks, and if you don't take Darko, you're getting like a superstar. And like, we got Mike Sweetney because we were just bad, not tanking bad. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, like, I think that the Leon Rose like lucked into this Brunson shit. Like, there's no way even he predicted. So once you get like a star, I don't know, whatever you, I'm going to use the term, you know, I think Brunson's a star. Like, yeah. I think the way he carries this team, I think it you're not, you know, I don't think you can really question that. So once you get him, it all fell into place. But everything, like when he took over pre that move, was bad. Like the year they made the playoffs, like, you know, when a team makes the playoffs and they're not actually that good and they don't realize, like, you can't have the GM acting like a fan who's like, dude, we made the playoffs, we're good, because every move that summer was fucking dog shit. Was like signing Derrick Rose again, Nerlens Noel. It was like Kemba Walker. Who the fuck was giving Kemba Walker 2 years guaranteed? Like, he just did every move he did. Evan Fournier. Why are you in a rush to sign Evan Fournier? Like, every move. So I was like, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. So he lucked into Brunson and then has been smart, where it's like, if you get the star, now you can like, you can be a little smarter and like, all right, let's get Josh Hart. They have chemistry in Villanova. Like, you know, like, so he's rebounded nicely from, like, I think Knicks fans, like the most positive ones, forget like that summer, like he spent like a fan, and like, even to get Brunson, they had to punt on a lottery pick. Like, that's not how you want to do business. Like, pitcher Jalen Williams on this team. Like, that was the next pick after the pick they gave up because you gave Kemba a 2 year guarantee, a guy that nobody wanted because his knees were shot. It's crazy. So thankfully they like fixed it, but I do think it's a little luck of like getting a star, like in the most insane way, hiring his dad, like just like crazy.
And it was also another guy that was like a Big East tournament star. It's like, we'll scout these guys when they come to MSG for the Big East tournament, and that will determine our roster decisions for the next 10 years.
So that's the thing. We didn't want that. The fans weren't like, oh my god, please. Like, I was so scared about Zach LaVine. Like, when the reports were out there, I was like, that is such a Knicks move to give up, you know, your cap space and picks to get a guy who has like the worst vibes of like any NBA player. Just the shittiest vibes. Like, that dude is just never going to be a player that matters. You could just tell. Like, he's just going to be on shit teams, putting up his stats. And it's like, no, thank you. Do not give up stuff for this guy.
Yeah, Clutch was already – he's a Clutch guy, of course. Clutch was already planning trade rumors like 3 months after he signed a max extension, which is not always what you want. The knee surgery plus the trade demand, the implied trade demand.
What do you guys want to do now that you're in this spot of like Klay Thompson? Like, he's kind of like, what do you do with that? Are you gonna let him walk? You're gonna bring him back in a bench role? Like, what do you guys want to do?
Sean and I think disagree here. Sean, you go ahead.
I think their big attempt should just be in the next, you know, a couple of months, just to figure out who ends up being the most disappointing first round guy. Like, right now, the clubhouse leader would be Brandon Ingram, I think. I don't really think they have enough to get someone like Karl Anthony Towns, but that's the market they're shopping in with, you know, the Andrew Wiggins contract,
but,
and whatever.
What do you want them to do was the question, Sean, not what do you think they're going to
do. No, you play.
They have so little to trade that they just need to. I mean, I would prefer they weren't desperate to get under the luxury tax, but I see why they're doing that as a 10th place team. Yeah, I think the ideal situation would be to trade a lot of stuff for Brandon Ingram, because he won't be staying in New Orleans, even though he's kind of disappointing. It's just, they just can't really tank for a year or two. And I mean, once they get bad, it's not that hard to get really bad.
Yeah. But Sean, you just... want Clay back, right? That was the question.
Oh, I guess so. I mean, he is my favorite, but.
Oh, man, you guys, you've won too much. Do you want the guy who won four titles for you?
I think he's just coming back, though. Yeah. Like, the indications are just that. I don't know. I just don't know that there's another team that's also going to give him like $50 million for 3 years. And I think the Warriors will. So I think he'll just stay.
That's what I would say. What's the market for him that you're going
to
get?
I would like him to leave. I just watching these last 2 years, like, and it's because I love Klay Thompson that I want him to leave. Like, I don't think he can become a player that plays for longer here anymore. He has to figure out how to be like a spot up shooting role player, and Kerr and Draymond and Curry love and like protect him too much so he still acts like old Klay Thompson and are like, well, that's just Klay. We're going to play him 35 minutes. And like, I think at the rate then we're going to have him guard a guy he shouldn't be guarding. Like, I just sort of think like he can't play 7 more years. He's continuing to play this way. And Kerr loves him too much to actually tell him not to. He'll be like, we're going to send him to the bench, but then it's fine if he shoots like these leaning 3-pointers he can't hit anymore over 2 guys. Like, that's just Klay. Like, I just don't think he can do that here. And he's got to learn to be a better player, to like a different kind of player to extend his career. And I don't think he can do it here.
He's sort of, it's underrated because he's a goofball 3-point shooter, but he's very tough and kind of has an insane pain tolerance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's had a torn ACL and a torn Achilles, and he still played like 75 games this year. He's like, I think he hit the 4th most threes in the league, Joey. Like, he just puts up all these minutes. So normally they literally have to just bench him, or, you know, he's never going to ask out of the game. He plays through literally any injury, which is very admirable, but just, you know, maybe not the usage you want from him.
He was much more detrimental this year than I think people realize. Like,
I mean, that's why they need to trade for a
different
small forward. And
Wiggins is the one I really want gone. I'm like, I think Wiggins for anything. I just can't watch him play basketball anymore.
It's a weird crisis where they're the thing with the Warriors too is they have like a dorky objectivist you know, hedge fund guy who doesn't really have any scandals, but definitely constantly overrules everybody on the staff. Like, I don't think the brain trust was necessarily excited about giving Draymond Green $100 million in the player option. That was one where the owner stepped in a little bit. And apparently that's also what happened with Andrew Wiggins getting a contract extension as well, when it was, they were like 9 months removed from, boy, this is a millstone contract, but it was worth it to get a lottery pick trading D'Angelo Russell for it. And then after that's why I'm not totally sure that they're going to get cheap, because Joe Lacob loves to spend money on his guys.
Yeah.
And Clay's like his ultimate guy.
Well, but his first ultimate guy was David Lee. Don't forget. That's his first guy.
That we have that in common.
We
invented David Lee.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the Warriors clearly circumventing the salary cap in some ways is that David Lee retired and immediately became a stockbroker. Mm-hmm. like, was there any kind of... And then you look at... There's all these IPOs where it's... these Warriors sponsors or minority members of the ownership group. And you're like, wait, Andre Iguodala owned 5% of the Calm app? That's weird. Weird how he came back for a veteran's minimum. That's strange. It doesn't have anything to do with the team being a weird VC as well.
Back to the Knicks real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I want to ask
David
you...
Lee, Sprewell, who do you want to talk? Well, let's talk Warriors Knicks.
All the connectors. Chris Mills, who once tried to fight the...
Chris Mills.
The Portland Trailblazers team bus. It's crazy thinking about 1990s NBA contracts.
Well, Don
contracts.
Nelson's the number one. Yeah.
He tried to trade Ewing, and then got him fired.
So when the Warriors trade Sprewell to the Knicks, I think Chris Mills had 6 years left on his deal.
It's so gross.
It feels so wild to be like, they need to lock that guy up for 7 years. I think the Warriors like used the savings to give Jason Kappe a 6-year deal. Like, just very weird stuff was happening. Much of it David Falk and New York Knicks related, but
those deals were so funny. Those deals were so funny when you look at them now. Like, it'd be like Larry Johnson signs a 27-year deal with the Hornets. Like, what is going on?
Well, I mean,
why are these deals so long?
Well, the Warriors got screwed by the Chris Webber deal because he had he signed
a 15-year
deal that had an opt out after his rookie year.
Nuts.
So just like,
that's one of the biggest what ifs. Like, you guys like had so much talent with Spree and Webber, and like that's like as like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, as far as those like just didn't happen, where the talent's there, like that's up there. You guys had so much. It's ridiculous that happened.
Yeah, Spreewell's first team All NBA, I think, in his second year in the NBA.
Yeah,
and I think we may have been there when the seeds of that Warriors team falling apart happened, actually, because. This is like before the 93 draft. You know, Jason Kidd's from Alameda, where Joey's, or is he from Oakland?
He's from Oakland, yeah.
He's from Oakland, went to school in Alameda. He's at a Warriors game, you know, after late game 1992-93 season. And Weber's there with Jason Kidd in the stands. And, you know, Jason Kidd's a freshman at Cal at the time. And they put him on the Jumbotron. Everybody applauds. Then Tim Hardaway looks up from the huddle, sees Webber, and gives the timeout sign.
Oh, no.
And they never got along. That was it. And then Hardaway, I think, tore his ACL like at the end of that season. So he wasn't there.
Avery
so they
Johnson
became like Sprewell's team.
Yeah.
God, I didn't know the timeout thing. That's funny, man. That's Webber
Tim
is not
Hardaway's hilarious.
Cool about that.
But what I wanted to ask about this current Knicks team is, so after game two, now are White Dante and Isaiah Hartenstein, where do they rank on the list of Knicks free agent signings now after winning one playoff game together, essentially?
Oh, they've won two playoff games together, Joey.
But I mean, like, game winner. For winning the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's crazy. Hartenstein, I just feel like we're going to lose him. Like, I don't think he's going to get, like, a max deal or anything like that, but I feel like somebody would pay him more than we would. I don't know. Like, Gus Johnson said it during like one of the last games he was calling. He's like, he's going to get a lot of money this offseason. Knicks probably going to lose him. I'm like, did MSG have him say that to prepare us? Is that why he's saying that? But yeah, I mean, like, again, this is another thing that you're not used to, like, good free agent signings. You got to go back to like Allen Houston as like, before he got hurt, he was really good. He's a really good player, two-time All-Star, scored 50 back when it meant something.
Yeah.
Not like today where they just give it to you, where they just give Malachi Flynn 50 just showing up. But yeah, it's just this is a real likable team, and I think the basketball gods are rewarding the Knicks for not tanking the last game to get the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they went to overtime with the Bulls in essentially a meaningless game, really, because 2-3, whatever. 3, you're going to get the Pacers. It's an easier matchup than the Sixers, whatever Embiid is. Like, you know, so I think we're being rewarded by just the basketball gods are just hopefully they give it to us in 5. I think that would be, I don't think you're going to sweep the Sixers because these games are very close, but 5 would be nice.
Might. Yeah.
5 would be nice. Then you play the Pacers next round. Hopefully you win that. Yeah. Here's what I want. Beat the Pacers, lose to the Celtics in 6. This is an insane season.
That's the best season.
You're not beating the Celtics. So,
look, in headcanon, you're not beating the Celtics. But let's just say we've watched the Celtics dribble the balls off their feet in fourth quarters several years in a row. I'm not counting it out this time.
All right,
yeah, I don't think it's going to happen,
I'll be more positive.
But there's a chance.
Porzingis has flashbacks about being here, and he just fucks up.
Or he's finally arrested for his crimes he did in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was... Yeah, I remember that story. That went away very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
do we think Joel Embiid's playing in the Olympics, by the way?
No. I don't even think he should be playing in this. I'm not the Sixers medical staff, but it's like, all I know is this guy's got a bad medical history. He had knee surgery, right? Like he had knee surgery. He comes back, looks like a fucking monster game one.
Yeah.
Then gets hurt, and then he can't move anymore. Where you're like able to just keep him as a jump shooter. So it's like, what are you doing? Why are you, what is the greater goal here? Is this team going to beat the Celtics? Is this team going to win a championship? It just feels short-sighted to like put all your eggs in the basket for this. I don't know. I don't know. It feels reckless. And I don't think he'll play in the Olympics.
They needed him to come back and play hurt so they could blame something on their loss.
I just think that's what the Sixers do.
The
big man playing through anyone playing through a meniscus tear has been like the formula for guys losing like years of their, like Lonzo Ball tried to do it. James Wiseman, Robert Williams came back for the playoffs with a meniscus tear. It's like, it's every time that happens, someone will tweet like, 3 to 4 week injury. And it's like, no, you ripped your knee. Your knee is ripped. It has to not be ripped to play basketball.
You could just see, you're watching the games. You see how he's moving. Like, I think he had 2 points like under the basket. And besides that, it was threes and, elbow jumpers. And like, he's just not moving. So I can't imagine he's going to look better as the series goes on. I know they have an extra night of rest tonight, the game's tomorrow, but I can't imagine he's going to look better magically game three. So, I don't know. I don't know what the cost of it is, but so be it. I don't know. I think he's tough at the same time. And I also think he's whiny. I think he's tough for playing it. And I also think he like bitches a lot. So,
And also, to be fair, he shoots a lot of jumpers anyway, even though he's a giant guy.
Yeah. That's true.
Kind of crazy when I watch him.
That's true. I mean, he likes that anyway. I mean, he's like the prototypical, like you see him shooting threes and you're like, great. He hits one early. You're like, that's the best thing because now he's going to keep taking them.
All right, Sean, any other questions for Jeff or should we let him go?
I just had one more. I know the Knicks always had dreams of getting Michael Jordan, especially in the late 90s. It came kind of close. Is it any consolation that you now have the Michael Jordan of Delaware in Dante DiVincenzo?
Is he the best Italian player of all time?
I mean, you got to go back pretty far, but yeah. I mean, who's his role?
Kobe Bryant.
Gallinari?
Kobe Bryant.
I'm sorry. D'Antoni.
Let me ask you this. You guys had him last season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you surprised at how much better he is in this?
No, he was awesome last year.
No, he was great.
He was so awesome. He was like their third best player.
I think they should have played him.
Year.
He actually should have just been starting last season and like – Klay Thompson being the sixth man could have like really changed this. He's just very reliable and he's tough. And I love a guard that goes out and gets rebounds too.
His burst.
There's something
incredible.
Great about it. And and he also was, I think he should deserve a lot of credit for it, but just for his vibes, he was the point man for the Warriors puppy adoption programs.
Okay. That's
so he
deal.
Was he's very big on getting those animals adopted, and that's pretty great.
What does Klay have? Klay has Frenchie.
He has a bulldog.
All right, Rocco. Okay. I was gonna say if he has Frenchies.
Klay has like a fancy dog, but now that the dog's old, it's charming. You know what I mean? Like you have an older dog. It doesn't matter the origin. It's an older dog.
I think I was surprised as someone who was, familiar enough with his game. It's like, I liked him. I thought the signing was fine. I was just surprised. Like, man, this dude is like, he's got a burst, man. Beyond the shot, just the way he fills the lanes, even on defense, you're like, this dude's good. And that's why it's like, it makes no sense and I don't think it's going to happen if they went. I know he wants to come here badly, but Donovan Mitchell, like, it just makes no sense to give up stuff for him at this point. Like, we didn't do it 2 years ago, which maybe we should have, maybe we shouldn't, whatever. But, like, you're going to pair him with, like, it's just not – whenever they get the star, it should not be Mitchell. It's just going a different direction. I know they have eyes on Booker. I wouldn't touch KD. Fuck that guy. Like, if the Suns blow it up and they're like, is anyone on KD? I do not want him.
I've really changed my mind about Booker, even though I root against him. But he's
really good. It's unfortunate because he's very annoying. And I don't like his face.
Well, they might get swept here. So, but you know, I don't know where you guys stand on KD. He won two championships for you guys, but for us, it was like Knicks aren't cool. Fuck them. I was never going there. And it's like, I think you were coming here, and then I think Kyrie talked you out of it. And I think you're very impressionable, and like you're never going to be happy with those championships. Like that's why you're writing to people online. I guess it's relatable. We're all insecure. We all like struggle with shit. But it's like It's weird that someone won two championships and is this insecure about it.
Yeah, no, I've actually described him before several times on the shows. He's the NBA's talented Mr. Ripley, where he sort of becomes who's around him when he first gets there. And then his like sinister part of his brain takes over the longer he's in a place.
I also am fairly sure that one of the reasons the Warriors lost him was that they didn't have JaVale McGee around to play cards with him. Yeah. And that doesn't like speak well that you need JaVale McGee there or you're out.
That's so funny. He got DeAndre multiple jobs.
Yeah. Garrett Temple that time too. Also part of the Nets big signings.
We signed DeAndre. It was part of the trade because we were like, KD is going to want to come here. And then I think DeAndre was like, dude, don't come here. This sucks.
Jeff, can you hype your debut special live at the Bomb Shelter?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's coming out June 11th. It'll be on all the streamers. Every streamer you heard of, it'll be on it. Except Netflix, but the rest of them, listen, it'll be on. And it's our comedy special is my first one. I've been doing comedy for a while, so I'm excited to get the word out. I'm excited that I got to talk Knicks with you guys. And this was fun. So everybody, June 11th, check it out.
Yeah. And you also have a podcast of your own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's what? Called a comedian with a podcast.
Can you believe it?
It's very unorthodox, but I'd go love ahead to have and you guys tell our listeners about
it.
That.
I did Warriors recently, though, but it's called Your Team Stuff. It's a podcast where I invite guests on who are fans of stuff. It's not just sports. It can be a fan of anything. And I show them memorabilia I find on eBay, and I see if they're in or out. So I just did, I'll tell you guys, I just did a Warriors one with the comic Dan Yang. I don't know if you know him. A very funny comic. He lives in New York now. He's from the Bay Area. And the favorite item I showed him was Sharunas Marshallonis game-worn pants. Mm-hmm. And they were fucking filthy. They were so disgustingly dirty. It didn't make sense. It looked like it was softball pants. And we said that this is a CSI investigation waiting to happen. But I'll tell you, it was $300. So it's not – if you want the Marshallonis pants – a very fun European player that played for your team in the...
I have a signed Marshallonis rookie card.
Do you got the pants? Do you got the,
I don't
the
have
dirty
the pants,
pants?
Though, no.
I have a signed napkin from Fenton's because I bumped into him once and it was like bumping... Like I was like 9 years old and I
was walking
into a wall.
Here is the strangest piece of Warriors merch I have.
Let me
I'll say
show it
to you right now. It's a Marco Bellinelli
hat. Oh, Bellinelli.
But it's a... Have you ever seen a player-specific hat?
No.
Before? With the name on the front?
Yeah, like the name on the front.
Oh, like, Fanatics.
No team name. Just it's a hat that says Bellinelli and his number 18.
I am getting my favorite piece
of
I love
the pronunciation
Warriors.
On him, too. Some of the announcers sometimes say Bellinelli.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's at the Italian American Museum in New York for a long time they had a Gallinari jersey in the window and they never switched to a Barks, which I thought were insane.
I wonder, is it a DiVincenzo now though?
Could be. I haven't been back. The best piece of Warriors merch I have is an old poster for Latrell Sprewell that identifies him as the landlord.
Dude,
a
nickname I had those sneakers. I had the sneakers, man. I love Sprewell. I had the Converse sneakers.
Yeah. And so the bottom says, time to pay the rent.
Yeah.
And I would say that would not be popular now on social media. People would be like, boo, landlords.
Have you seen Sprewell's Instagram account now? Do you know what he's up to? Well, he's allowed back in MSG. They made peace. He ended in a poor way. But what's great about it is he goes to the games now, and then his Instagram is just like him with, like, it'll be like him with Michael Che. And he just meets celebrities. And then the other one I like today, I saw he posted the food that he had there. Like, it's like he's acting like a fan. It's like, dude, you're a four-time All-Star. You won playoff games here, and you're like just fanboying out of like, oh, look at this chicken that I got at the Knicks game tonight. It was fucking awesome. Look at that. And it's like, dude, you played for the team. This is crazy how you're acting like some rabid fan. It's great. I love it. Go Sprewell. Sprewell Spinner.
Yeah, he's posing with like club owners. It looks like.
Yeah. So you see the food? The scroll, the one is the chicken.
Yeah,
dinner.
Yeah. That's
it's so funny.
And like no caption, just like, I ate this food. I ate this. And it's like in the media. It's the VIP spread, weirdly. This is very strange. I love it, but it's very weird.
There's something charming about it. And I like that the old guys are back, and it's, you know, again, we don't have much. So,
yeah,
it's nice.
And you still got McEnroe and Modine. And that's all you really need.
And Steve Sharippa.
Yeah.
All right. So, everybody, June 11th, checkout live from the Bomb Shelter. Thanks for talking to us about the Knicks and also the Warriors, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. All right, thank you, Jeff. Listen to his special. Watch his special. Sean, let's talk about the other series.
I want to say two more things real quickly. It's kind of insane that Jalen Brunson scored
38 points in three straight games. Yeah.
No. He scored 40 in three straight games, and then the game before he scored 39.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, that's like five people, and then him getting 10 assists in three of those games. It's him and Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
So any of the like nothing sense is always Oscar Robertson or Wilt Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. And then also Dante DiVincenzo. Mm-hmm. 48 minutes tonight. Just
game icing free throws. It was no point did it ever seem like he was going to miss those two free throws.
They were. You could have just like dropped them in above the rim on a ladder.
Well, there was also like a weirdly long break that would have broken several other players before he got to shoot them. And I was watching him the whole time, and I was like, he's gonna hit both of these. This game is over.
I want to say that the Villanova guys, I think, combined for 98 minutes in, sorry, that's not enough at all. They combined for 138 minutes, and the maximum that they could have played was 144. So they were six total minutes, and I think that's actually underestimating that, because I think Josh Hart played like 46 and a half minutes.
Okay. So let's talk about let's talk about the other thing that ended tonight.
Yes.
The Pacers beat the Bucks 4-2. Cool. And Patrick Beverley lost his mind.
That part was crazy, because initially I looked up the clip when Joey's like, did you see what Patrick Beverley did?
Uh-huh.
And I saw a clip that only had the second half. Mm-hmm. I thought a basketball had gotten loose in the stands.
No.
And someone threw it. So here, Joey, explain what happens.
So Patrick Beverley throws a basketball at an Indiana Pacer fan in the crowd behind the bench. Then the Pacer fan kind of casually throws it back to him.
No. What happened was he was throwing it at a fan, presumably one who was talking to him. He missed that fan and drilled a woman who wasn't necessarily paying attention. I mean, she was paying attention to the game, but not a guy on the end of the bench firing a basketball as hard as he could. And so he just hits a woman on the side of the head. The ball bounces back. His target then passes the ball back to Patrick Beverly, and Beverly whips it at him again, and he just catches it.
Yeah. But which then, is, Sean, did you see his behavior after the game in the locker room?
No, I did not.
Oh, my goodness, Sean.
So he was kind of getting dragged away by a teammate who was kind of like, let's save you like $100,000 to $500,000 by just walking away right now. Also, we're down by 30 points. Okay, 25.
Okay, so
points.
Then after, Sean, he's in the scrum in the locker room, and he tells a female reporter from ESPN that she's not allowed to interview him because she doesn't subscribe to his podcast. And then proceeds to push her mic away every time she tries to put it back up.
Now, this is the same guy who brought in fake reporters to ask him offensive questions that he could then refute on his podcast. Is that right?
Yes.
So I want to bring this up. 2019, first game of the season. Clippers are playing the defending Western Conference champion Golden State Warriors, somewhat hobbled by losing Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson to injury. And the Clippers had acquired Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the offseason. And Patrick Beverly yelled at Steph Curry, "The next 5 years are mine." Joey, what did Steph Curry say back?
He said, "Aren't you 34?
I think he said 31. Which,
31, sorry.
Which was like his 30, age. Actually, Steph knew exactly how old he was. Pretty
the
good.
The only time Steph Curry has looked cool saying something.
Yes. So with the end of this season, Joey, that five-year period has finally expired for Patrick Beverly. That led to five teams, I believe. Is that right? He was on the Bulls, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Sixers, and the Bucks. There are two crowning. Oh no, he was on the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
I think he was on six teams, Joey.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
he was on two this year alone.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I would say there were two true highlights for Patrick Beverly.
Jumping on the and scorer's table when he was
jumping
wins
on the scorer's table after winning the play-in game.
Yeah.
And then I would say taking a camera and showing the ref a foul on LeBron James and drawing a technical. Now,
I don't think you said the Lakers. Are you sure it's not seven teams, Sean?
It's the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bulls,
the Sixers, the Timberwolves.
Technically, I believe he was traded to the Orlando Magic, but I don't think he took the court for them. But I think the Lakers traded him for Mo Bamba, if I'm not mistaken. Would you say the last 5 years were Patrick Beverly's, Joey?
No. No, I wouldn't. No.
He is,
I would say they were Nikola Jokic's.
They were Nikola Jokic's. If it's anyone's. I mean, other than that, it was Josiah Johnson's 5 years, maybe.
Anyway, maybe. Loser behavior from Patrick Beverly. Hope he doesn't hear this. Don't
really
wanna...
truly terrible.
Yeah,
and,
bad behavior. But let's talk about the rest of the Bucks.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Giannis and Dame were both hurt.
Yes.
Doc took this job kind of knowing this was going to happen, it seemed like, all year, and sort of trying to talk his way out of it. Are the equipment managers to blame for this loss?
I would say it's mainly the travel staff, the bus driver, the equipment manager. I mean, look, one thing I will say is that Doc Rivers seems to be pretty disappointing when he has a loaded team. Like, I think the Bucks had a losing record during the regular season after he took over. But he can make magic with... It's weird. He's like a guy who, if he was in a Michelin restaurant, would burn the kitchen down. But if it's like 7 p.m. and he's just digging through the back of the refrigerator. He is going to make you the most amazing, unanticipated casserole. Mm-hmm. And 30% of the time, you're also going to get food poisoning from it. But
yeah,
like their game five win had a real like 2019 Clippers vibe, which also seemed like the happiest Doc Rivers has ever mm-hmm. been. And then they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and he just started like throwing up on the sidelines all the time. And then they hired his assistant coach, mm-hmm. real slap on the face. So that might be the key for Doc Rivers. Like, he should be coaching like the Charlotte Hornets mm-hmm. right now.
Also,
but unfortunately,
I want to point out once again, Chris Middleton was awesome in the first round of a playoff series.
He kicked ass.
The secret best buck in the playoffs in at least the first round, always.
Yeah.
What do the Bucks do, though, Sean?
I mean, they're kind of locked in. Like, Dame signed for like 4 more years. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like the way the season ended lets everybody off the hook. But if it were me, mm-hmm. if it were me running the Milwaukee Bucks, I would be asking the Miami Heat if they were still willing to give me Jaime Jaquez Jr.,
Nikola Jokic,
Tyler Hero, and Tyler some Hero. Picks,
yeah.
and Nikola Jokic. Like, I don't that think, seems like
I
it would
think,
be a...
I think that deal's off the table,
yeah,
Sean.
It might be off the table. Like, I don't know if Dame justified
awesome.
That price this year. But, like, send him to Miami. Like, don't... It just wasn't that great. Like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it was also an incredible Bobby Portis series.
Yeah.
Because have you heard this James Johnson? Okay, so James Johnson, mm-hmm. MMA fighter, undefeated yeah. MMA fighter. Also, I think has some domestic violence mm-hmm. convictions.
Violent man, yeah.
Or at least complaints.
Yeah.
There was an MMA guy who pointed out that there's not a lot of like documentary evidence of James Johnson fighting.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a self-proclaimed MMA champion kind of thing. Like, I'm sure he's done MMA. I'm sure he's a very tough guy. He's a big basketball player. But tonight, he and Bobby Portis got double technicals because mm-hmm. Bobby Portis was yelling at Tyrese Halliburton, and then James Johnson confronted him from the bench because
he doesn't play.
Who cares if James Johnson gets suspended for leaving the bench? Like, he doesn't play. But I was a little sad that we were robbed at Bobby one punch mm-hmm. Portis, who put a 6'10 man in the hospital with mm-hmm. one punch, didn't get a chance to do some justice to James Johnson tonight.
By the way, I should also say tonight, big win for Knicks fans all around, because Obi Toppin was also awesome in this game tonight.
He was awesome, and the guy who was insane was TJ McConnell, uh-huh, which
yeah.
made this one of the greatest nights in Indiana basketball history. They love the Pacers, they're good, but a white guy named TJ mm-hmm. finally came through for them. TJ right. Leaf is at home, like, weeping and also, like, hitting himself with a whip, I think.
All right, Sean. Game. Also, let's talk Celtics here.
Celtics,
they did beat
yeah.
the Heat 4-1.
Yeah.
But Porzingis has, like, a mystery injury. Big surprise.
Yeah. They say he
Porzingis
didn't
is out.
Tear his Achilles, basically.
Uh-huh.
But it also kind of seems like he might have torn it a little bit.
Well,
I mean, they don't
calling
have to
it a
say
calf but... strain, not an Achilles thing, but still.
Yeah, like I remember when Kevin Durant left the 2019 playoffs with a calf strain,
mm-hmm.
and then tore his Achilles the next time he was on the court. And mm-hmm. Porzingis has such a normal, athletic, lithe body that mm-hmm. you wouldn't really expect him to have any. Like every time he pulls up, like holding his ankle, I'm like, why did that not happen every time? Mm-hmm. Like, you have an impossible body.
So they're saying he's probably going to miss the second round.
Which
and he's supposed to be their big, the big difference maker this year. Sean, are you worried about the Celtics?
Not in the next round, I will say.
Yeah.
Derek White has been incredible.
Yeah, Derek White is their best player now.
Sam Hauser has weirdly been incredible.
I mean, Jaylen Brown is still
turning the ball over
yet.
All the time, by the way. That's like all the like old Celtics things are still happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would be that encouraged that they beat a Heat team that didn't have two starters. By the end, they didn't even have Hawkes.
Yeah.
Like, here are some people who played big minutes in the last game. Patty Mills, 17 minutes. Thomas Bryant, 12 minutes. DeLon Wright, Joey. DeLon Wright, a player we like, but
love DeLon Wright.
32 minutes in a playoff
game. Too many minutes in a playoff game.
It's just too many minutes in a playoff game. We might have seen the end of Kevin Love's career also with 3 minutes in.
Well, it would be fitting that Kevin Love and Blake Griffin retire within like 3 months of each other, I would say.
Yeah, there is something kind of beautiful about that.
Yeah, they're kind of similar guys.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I see that.
Kind of guys who were fun and then became bummers.
Although I will
pretend to be funny.
that Kevin Love's being implicated by the drop in dimes video.
Yeah,
that's rough. Okay, Jaylen Brown, 2 big wins against Miami, 11 turnovers in his last 2 games. Johnny, are you worried? Are you nervous, Johnny?
They're going to play either the Cavs or the Magic, who play Friday. Sean, Cleveland leads this series 3-2.
Yes.
But I sort of feel like the Magic are going to win this series in 7. How are you feeling?
I also think that it's because Orlando won the games in Orlando pretty handily. The Cavs sort of have a better offense when I don't know if Jared Allen's playing in game 6. Do we know that yet?
I can't Google it. Give me 1 second.
I mean, it's hard to say because the Cavs kind of have a better offense without him. But then people end up driving to the basket a lot more.
Although Evan Mobley was good. Practice today.
He skipped practice and he has a rib injury. The thing is, like, he has like a rib contusion, and to me that means he has broken ribs.
Yes.
So,
I mean,
it's weird because
Andrew Wiggins played a playoff series with broken ribs last year, and has not been the same basketball player since.
Yeah, and
now I don't know if that's because he's Andrew Wiggins or if it's the rib injury, but I mean,
he was definitely out of shape to start the season, and then after people were complaining about it, someone in the Warriors front office said, yeah, he couldn't really work out because of his broken rib. He has broken ribs. Can we just say that he has broken ribs?
Okay, sure.
Jared Allen has broken ribs. There's no difference between a like rib contusion and broken ribs because you just have to wait for. I once went to the doctor because I thought I'd broken ribs, and they were like, "No, you just strained your ribs." And I said, "What do I do?" And they're like, "Well, just like if you broke your ribs, your ribs are going to hurt for a month, and then they'll stop hurting." But I think Orlando's going to win game 7 in Cleveland because I think that crowd, there's something about a Cleveland playoff crowd. I think they flash back to that time that the river caught on fire and you can kind of sense it in their demeanor. Yeah. And I just think that Donovan Mitchell's already looking to play somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that
maybe
might
the New York Knickerbockers.
New York Knickerbockers. Miami Heat seem like they might be a destination.
Hey,
they got a,
you know,
Terry Rozier contract they could trade. Yeah, trade for Dame. Oh my god, that would be really funny. Darius, like, if you just want to completely break Darius Garland's spirit,
trade for Dame.
Trade Mitchell for Dame. They're like, no, we need another 6-foot guard.
I mean, Garland
who likes the ball in his
hands.
Has been
very good this year.
He was really good at the beginning. Yeah, you're right. He was really good at the beginning of game 5. But
yeah.
He hasn't
The Thunder just dog walked the Pelicans.
Rough one for the Pelicans.
Yeah, really, really rough
that
one.
That series
for
should have been a little bit closer.
I don't know. I think the Thunder are really good.
They are. It's just the Pelicans were also good. It's just their centers are terrible, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Brandon Ingram was terrible, and I think a lot of that was Lou Dort, but some of it was Brandon Ingram. But like Valanciunas and Nance were a rough duo. And
well, you know what else is a rough duo?
Yeah.
That commercial starring Chet Holmgren.
It is the worst NBA commercial in recent memory. Is there one you can think of that you hated more?
Paul George for Gatorade.
Paul George for Gatorade. That's like the last one that I think is as embarrassing because it ran the whole playoffs and they lost in the first round.
I don't know if it will ever get more embarrassing than Paul George for Gatorade, actually.
Yeah, with the Thunder, it's like that commercial is really bad. It's really cringy. The singing is terrible, but they swept.
Yeah.
Also, Chet is dressed like he's in the Matrix, maybe, or I can't tell if it's like he's in a Keanu Reeves movie where he's trying to kill Keanu Reeves, but I'm not sure if that's like
it's not Wick because it's not like steampunky enough.
No. It's more like a guy who finally found a duster that fit his weird Slenderman body. And just bought it and wore it everywhere.
Johnny Mnemonic. It's
Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah.
It's a guy who wants the information in Keanu Reeves' head. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's like, I guess I'll go with you.
Anyway, nothing really to say about that series, right?
Well, I think
the Pelicans might be rebuilding a little bit.
Yeah, because they have a weird team where like their bench is better than their starters, and the three guys who make the most money are terrible when they play together.
It just seems like you might want to be playing Trey Murphy and Herb Jones 30 minutes a game.
Well, that's the thing. Like, basically, they love Zion Williamson. They have to get rid of either CJ McCollum or Brandon Ingram, and they happen to have two really good young people who play the same position as Brandon Ingram, but not CJ McCollum. So, like, also, one of them is signed for 2 years at probably too much money, and the other one, they basically have to give a big contract extension to or trade him. So, Brandon Ingram, sell your house.
All right, let's talk about Clippers-Mavs. Sean, I'm going to say this series, I watched the games.
Yes.
And whoever is winning with my eyes is always down 8 points.
Do you know what I mean? Yes, and it's weird because it feels like Jason Kidd is definitively out-coaching Tyronn Lue. And I don't really understand that. And Jason Kidd is doing things that don't really conform to what I think they should be doing. But I feel like this is my theory for the series. Paul George and James Harden have easily broken spirits. And so the Mavericks like got ahead in game 5. Basically by just playing Maxi Kleber and a center together. And the Clippers kind of gave up. Like they weren't really guarding Maxi Kleber and he made a bunch of threes. And they also weren't really driving on Daniel Gafford or Derek Lively. And Luka has had some rough moments and he has a sprained knee and he said he wouldn't play if it was the regular season.
And Harden, by the way, has weirdly been pretty good in this series.
Well, he's either been pretty good or bad. Like, yeah, abjectly terrible. And the same thing is true for Paul George.
Yeah.
And but the thing that comes out is, like, when the Clippers are good, one of the reasons is that they can just play Kawhi Leonard at power forward.
Mm-hmm. They can't do
because
that.
Because he's the strongest man in the world.
The problem and, is he's actually load managing for the Olympics.
Yeah, he's waiting. Then, honestly, I don't disagree with that theory. Yeah, like, what is he doing? So, yeah, he played two games in the... I mean, they lost both games he played, mm-hmm. So who knows? But, yeah, the Nick... I kind of feel like Jason Kidd was just looking at the Clippers roster and was like, wait a second. Aside from Plumlee and Zubac, literally every guy on the roster is between 205 and 220 pounds and is between 6'4 and 6'7.
Yeah.
Can we exploit that somehow? And that he was like, yeah, we can. We can.
But that being said, I don't know if the Mavericks are going to win this series.
No, I mean, would you be shocked if they lost game six? Not at all. What's really weird is, even though he's not shooting that well, the guy I trust the most on the Mavericks right now is Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. And that feels insane.
Yeah.
He's collected.
Real Kyrie and Russ redemption series of redemption mm-hmm. games.
Yeah. These are the guys that are playing the hardest somehow. I mean, Westbrook's had like up and downs, but you can't.
He plays really hard.
He's not doing like annoying Westbrook things. It's just like, I don't know. He's
cool. I like Westbrook.
Like, totally redeemed.
Yeah.
Kyrie also.
I don't like Kyrie, but we get it. You're good.
Also, I will say, to defend Kyrie, he does give a lot of money to charity, and that at least is like, well,
I just wish he would stop learning everything on Instagram.
And then we've had about a year and a half where he hasn't shared anything devastatingly terrible. Seems to have settled into that Ramadan life. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just that he's in Texas and he's like, ah, thank God, an open carry state.
The Timberwolves, Sean, absolutely dog walked the Suns. Speaking of dog walk, Sean. Hold on. So going through these.
Yeah.
We went through the East playoffs and we were like, oh, this was a fun series, but is this team actually good? Like 100 times.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, on this side of the bracket,
we're just like, oh, the Thunder fucking rule.
Yeah, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, like, this is brutal.
Like people understand that Jalen Williams is good, but I still feel like he's a little bit underrated, Joey.
Yeah, and I feel that way about Jaden McDaniels as well. Yes, on the Timberwolves.
I know Rudy Gobert has his limitations in the playoffs sometimes. I'm not going to be like Draymond Green and pretend I like him because I hate Jusuf Nurkić more. But I will say, when you have like attack dog defense on the perimeter with McDaniels and the way Anthony Edwards has been playing, I really think Rudy Gobert can thrive on that in that situation where he's not forced to, like, you know, they would play the Clippers when he was on the Jazz and, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley were like waving at guys and he had to like sprint to the 3-point line. Here, Jaden McDaniels like breaks people's spirits.
Yeah.
I think on defense, he's so tall. He's really fast and he's like feels like he's kind of an asshole on the court. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying anything about his normal personality, but like very confrontational, and like he wants you to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And he scored like 25 points in one of these games too. So
yeah,
he's not really.
We are burying the lead here, though, which is like, Anthony Edwards is like a full on superstar now.
Yeah, yeah, because the thing he started adding this year is like he's had like moments of being pretty tough defensively, mm-hmm. and that's even extended. Like last year, that happened too sometimes. This year, it's like we're seeing him go across the lane to block shots where he's not even in the shot until like a second, like half a second before he's blocking the ball into the stands. And just seems to seek out pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And it's so funny because the Timberwolves went all in what felt like a year early and then did almost nothing in the offseason last year. And it's almost like the biggest difference is just that Anthony Edwards got a year older.
Well,
and Jay McDaniels got better too, but
I also think like Mike Conley really has helped them.
Because like, they had like a crazy team where people would do like real weird stuff, and he didn't join the team until like mid-February, right? Yeah. So, like his influence was not strong enough in April when everybody was punching each other or punching walls.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, honestly, if they have Gobert in that play-in game against the Lakers, which the Lakers won by like 1 or 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the trajectory of last year's playoffs is very different.
Well, let's talk about the Suns real quick.
Swept. Joey, how many teams would trade their rosters for the Phoenix Suns right now?
According to Matt Ishbia, 26.
26?
Yeah, he said 26.
Does he mean like, so who's he accepting? The Celtics and the Nuggets? Right,
I think he was just meaning the teams who are already in the next. So it would be like the Celtics,
Thunder, okay.
The Timberwolves,
yeah,
the Nuggets, I guess. Right, is that's four. including their draft picks. He said they would also trade their draft picks and all their players would. Straight up for
Phoenix's no players.
Yeah.
So the future of this team, they will be extending Royce O'Neal because they can't extend anyone who's not their player already.
Here's the exact.
Okay.
Ask the other 29 GMs. 26 of them would trade their whole team for our whole team, our draft picks, and everything as is. The house is not on fire. We're in a great position. It's not hard to fix. Sean.
Feels like it's hard to fix.
Do you think the house is on fire?
Yes. Yes,
considering
it's on fire.
The next day, one writer had a hit piece on their head coach and another mm-hmm. writer had a hit piece on the players from the head coach's position.
I mean, that's journalism, baby. The Bradley Beal trade was terrible when it happened, even though they gave up almost nothing.
Right.
Somehow look, I don't know if the no trade clause is actually important, but it feels like the sign of an organization that isn't necessarily paying attention to details, mm-hmm. that when you trade for a guy with a supermax contract, you wouldn't just get him to waive that after he picked his new destination.
Yeah.
That just feels like someone who didn't ask mm-hmm. or like didn't notice. So I would say this maybe changes if Kevin Durant asks out. Can Kevin Durant ask out? Like at this point,
I think he can, dude.
What's one more trade? One more? Like at this point, like lean into it, dude. Like Like, whoever's not going to forgive him, who still hasn't forgiven him for leaving Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like demanding a trade from the Suns is any different.
Right.
I, of course, think the funniest outcome is him returning to the Warriors. But also, it might kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Like a whole season of so, Durant back.
I can't do it. I can't stand the man. I don't even like his game. I understand he's good. He's not... He's not for me.
You like dunks and you like threes. Uh-huh. And he doesn't do that very much anymore. And it's a lot of
mid-range,
like...
hezzy pull-up Jimbos. And that's not for me.
Yeah, and... Also, with all the anger that Draymond Green has consistently displayed at Kevin Durant this season after pretending not to be mad for almost 5 years, can they come back together?
Yes.
Yeah, they would 100% pretend they were never mad.
Well, and look, here's
like
the
they already have.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Look, I don't think it's going to happen, but I have this really bad feeling in my gut that it might happen.
And it'll be all your favorite players heading to Phoenix as that happens, too.
But then it's an easy narrative out for Kevin Durant. Like, he doesn't have to claim... He doesn't have to claim, like, he was wrong. He can do this nostalgia play where he's like... I played with Steph and I played with Steve and I was like, you know, I've been searching for something and I realize it's here.
Yeah. No, he's like, been, he texted Draymond Green from the parking lot of his game six loss. By the way, Kevin Durant swept out of the playoffs in two of the last three seasons. I mean, I know he is a historically great player, but swept in the first round two of the last 3 years. Yeah. Pretty unimpressive series from Durant. Well, as much as Anthony Edwards said he respected him. But yeah.
Speaking of sweeps.
Yeah.
Sean, last year, the Lakers got swept by the Nuggets, and they claimed it was the closest sweep in NBA history.
They did.
And this year, they actually won a game before getting eliminated. Does that mean they actually won this series? Because they won a game against the Denver Nuggets.
This one is like, well, I mean, they finally got revenge for all that trash talk. Yeah. They talked a lot in training camp. Anthony Davis talked a lot. Austin Reeves talked a lot. I'm not sure that LeBron James actually... I was trying to find it, and I don't think LeBron actually said that. He got mad at Mike Malone for making fun of him for claiming he was going to retire. Mm-hmm. After the sweep and was like, I was in Europe. Oh, people still mentioning my name. But in the preseason stuff, it was mainly Anthony Davis being like, yeah, me and LeBron, we were really mad at the Nuggets for trash talking. And then you look back and you're like, what was the trash talk? And it was kind of just Mike Malone making fun of LeBron. Mm-hmm. And then also, I don't know, I just wouldn't have called any of that trash talking. He was sort of yelling at the media.
It was embarrassing, but
I think Bruce Brown trash talked him, but he had already was not in the organization. Anyway, congratulations to the Lakers for responding to that trash talk, for taking one of the next eight games. Mm-hmm. Now, this series actually, I think, was closer than last year's because
they won a game.
Well, and Jamal Murray had to hit two game-winning shots.
But the Nuggets, let's be honest.
Yeah.
How do I put this without offending our Laker friends and the Lakers themselves? The Nuggets weren't trying very hard in this 4-1s.
It felt like they were playing like a classic Lakers team, actually. Uh-huh. This was like a Shaq and Kobe 2002 era.
Yeah.
Like watching them in December.
Yeah.
Where it just felt like
they knew they could win at any time and just
like
flipped the switch.
Like Jokic was almost like, I'm going to have to play a lot of minutes. Let's maintain. But also I don't want my heart rate to get up too high before the third quarter. Now, I know they don't have as much depth as last year, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're necessarily missing, like, Jeff Green on the court. They're obviously missing Bruce Brown.
I actually think they are missing Jeff Green. Jeff Green was awesome in the playoffs last year.
Like, as a player?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I guess you, that's sort of a guy you'd want instead of Jokic. But, like, if they had this year's Jeff Green, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like the Warriors losing Otto Porter Jr. after 2022. Like, that hurt. But also, if they'd still had Otto Porter Jr., they wouldn't have Otto Porter Jr.
Right. Yeah.
Also, congratulations on your retirement, Otto Porter Jr. Sorry for my cousin who named her dog Otto Porter Jr. in the middle of the 2021-22 season. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still a cool name for a dog.
Sean, can I tell you something that's wrong with the NBA right now?
What's that?
I'm currently looking at the NBA's playoff bracket here on NBA.com, okay, which tells you the television network they're going to be airing these specific games on. So let me tell you some games and where they're going to be airing.
Okay.
Cavs Magic will be on ESPN.
Okay.
Thunder TBD will either the Clippers or the Mavericks will be on TNT.
On Sunday, presumably.
Yeah. Tuesday. Tuesday.
Right. Because okay.
Monday on TNT will be Pacers Knicks.
Okay.
What do you think the most exciting series is going to be in the second round? Timberwolves Nuggets, right? It's going to be
Timberwolves Nuggets for sure.
They are playing on TNT / True TV Saturday at 7 p.m.
Come
Eastern.
Come on. Here's the thing.
And the Celtics, all of the Celtics games will be on, of course, ABC. The Celtics boat racing the Magic or the Cavs.
I understand when there are regular season games that are NBA TV only. Mm-hmm. But they've already shown that you can put games on True TV. Mm-hmm. What do you think True TV is airing if they're not airing NBA games?
7 hours
Jokers. Of Impractical Jokers?
Yeah.
This NBA TV series should be on a cable service that some people actually have. You shouldn't have,
No, Sean, this isn't on NBA TV. It's on TNT and True TV.
I'm just saying that four of the five Cavs Magic's games, okay, seemingly the NBA would like to introduce new young stars. Mm-hmm. Maybe stars like Paolo Banchero, the former number one pick, Franz Wagner, his brother Mo Wagner,
Anthony
Darius
Black.
Garland.
Now we're just doing Don Pardo show.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of guys who are like high picks and good and seemingly would be like the future of the league. And it's almost impossible to see these guys. And I'm not even saying like this series should have relegated a different series to NBA TV. It's like there's no reason to involve NBA TV, a cable channel that most people do not have. Like, put it on. How is the NCAA tournament able to air every single game they have, even if it's like Southwestern Tennessee State versus Bucknell? It's on True TV.
I'm saying, Sean, maybe don't put the three-time MVP and Anthony Edwards, rising a man who dunks like Michael Jordan on True TV.
Right. I'm just saying True TV is still better than NBA TV. But yes. Also because it's going to be the best series. Yeah. I mean, I guess it might not if the Nuggets get their
Knicks
asses.
Pacers could be super fun, I guess.
I mean, that's like a fun throw. I'm going to put on my Stussy shirt. I'm going to start pegging my pants. I will continue listening to the exact same music that I have been listening to since the mid-90s.
But I'll tell you right now, the worst series is going to be Celtics versus anyone left, versus Cavs or the Magic. And guess what? People will watch the Celtics on True TV. Put that one on True TV.
Yeah, exactly. Those maniacs will find it.
Yeah, the Celtics will. People will find the Celtics. Yeah. Put one of the fun teams on the ABC game. The fun series.
So people aren't like, oh, why can Jaylen Brown only dribble with one hand without it going off his foot?
It's because Murr dared
him
to do it.
Why do all those white guys have identical haircuts?
It's because Q told them to do it, the impractical joker. All right. Not QAnon.
Not QAnon.
And Murr and Sal are behind it. Speaking of TV, while we're talking about this, Sean.
Yes.
I gotta say, I want everyone, they're doing the TV deal right now. They're splitting the NBA, next season's NBA, into three pieces. And what we know already is Amazon is getting one third. ESPN is getting another third. And it's now down to NBC and TNT. And I'm seeing a lot of tweets from people about how they want the NBA back on NBC because they want to hear Round Ball Rock again.
Yeah.
But those games are not going to be on NBC. They're going to be on Peacock.
Yes.
And also what will be gone? The greatest show in the history of television.
Yes.
You cannot sell these games to not TNT. Jesus Christ.
Have you watched a football game on NBC? How many? They're going to be like, no, Inside the NBA is out, but we will have an 8-man pregame show. There's going to be a gambling guy. Like, they hired the talented Mr. Roto to do their endless pregame. Jason Garrett got to do color commentary for a playoff game. These people do not have any taste at NBC Sports. They just let Al Michaels go. Just let him go.
Well, he's never eaten a vegetable, Sean.
That is true. The NBC mandate's like, look, Al, we've let it go for a while.
Part of our green
crazy thing about Al Michaels.
Another crazy thing. One of his best friends, O.J. Simpson, still to this day. Well, whoa. I guess not to this day.
Not anymore.
But you know what I mean.
Is that why he was there busting the Howard Stern collar during the O.J. chase? One of Al Michaels' greatest moments is identifying that a man said Baba Booey when the rest of ABC News / sports was like, this sounds like accurate. And he goes, that is a fraudulent call. Those are my two Al Michaels highlights. Do you believe in miracles? And that was a fraudulent call.
Yeah. But anyway, TNT essentially leaked today that they're not letting Ernie go. He's under contract if they don't get the NBA.
Just doing like baseball and golf?
Well, no.
Are they
going
to move
the
him
tournament
to the hockey show?
It's the tournament.
Oh, because of the tournament.
Yeah.
Barkley immediately announced that he had an out if they lose the NBA.
Yeah, Barkley's going wherever, but...
Well, he's also getting a raise after signing a long-term deal like a year ago.
They also leaked that Shaq just might not do TV if it's not on NBA on TNT.
That rules. I mean, how is he going to make it up for him? Hopefully he can pick up some endorsements. He's very picky about those, but...
Anyway, so stop tweeting about how much you want Round Ball Rock the song back and start tweeting about how the NBA can't live without without Inside the NBA, because
also
true.
Don't tell John Tesh the name of this podcast. I mean, I don't know how there is a feature on The Ringer that mentioned it, but I feel like he's not I don't think he's that social.
Well, he's not allowed to interview us unless he subscribes, so.
That's true. By the way, Joey, we missed one thing that we should have mentioned about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Chris Finch ruptured his patella.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Their coach is injured. He had to get surgery. Who's going to coach for them?
It's not decided. Now, Tim Connelly said, Finch is obviously a leader and a super tough guy. I have a ton of respect for him bouncing out so quickly. He's chomping at the bit to get back out there. He's really excited about the series. I mean, he had knee surgery yesterday on May 1st. And it's a ruptured patella. Like, that's a bad injury.
Okay.
And Tim Connelly had to say, I'm not his acting physician.
Here is who should coach for him. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Sean, there's two very good choices here.
Okay.
There are some guys I don't really know. Elston Turner, Micah Norrie, Joe Boyle.
Micah Norrie is the acting head coach. Sure. Right now.
But I'm telling you, Micah Norrie stepped down. It should either be Corliss Williamson or Pablo Prigioni.
Oh, my God. Letting Pablo Prigioni run the team? Oh, my God. So Mike Conley Jr. crashed into him. I think what is going to happen, here's my prediction. He's going to be on the sidelines. He's going to be there with the brace. They're going to clear out space on the bench so he can extend his ruptured leg. And he's going to get crashed into by DeAndre Jordan.
Here's what I think, Sean. I think they should just let him coach from Zoom. Who was that? I mean, wait, who was that? What was that college coach that coached from that hospital bed that one time? Let him do that.
That guy has a crazy funny name. He was the old Ole Miss coach. I'm going to find his name. That was truly incredible. Well, they are talking about him just being in a suite and running from
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze.
Let him coach Hugh Freeze style.
Yeah.
Also,
even though he's walking around on crutches, he should have to do it in a hospital bed.
Yeah, yes. That's absolutely. It has to be.
I mean, he actually seems fine to not be in a bed, but that should be part of the deal. Like, you can't coach via Zoom unless you're in a hospital bed. I also think he should have to wear a hospital gown with the gap at the back, so if he stands up, people can see his butt.
Yeah.
And also have an old timey, one of those like bags with ice in it that you put on your head and go, oh no, every time he wants to make a challenge. Even though he doesn't have a head injury, he should still have to have that thing on his head.
All right, Sean, last thing we should probably mention. This is the first playoff since I don't know. I forget exactly what year, 2010 or something, that didn't have LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, or Robert Ori in it.
I think it's
2006 if you add Robert Ori. Yeah.
Yeah, I think LeBron didn't. Yeah.
It's pretty weird, right? Has the guard officially been? Has the torch officially been passed?
Not by ESPN, but yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so the guys that are out, it's Curry, it's Durant, it's LeBron, it's also Dame and Giannis. Like, they're not necessarily out for good, but like, none of these guys is on like the correct trajectory. Jimmy Butler's out.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid is out. He's 30. It's weird. It's
John Hollinger actually had a really interesting thing where he was like, it's almost like they're skipping a generation here. It's like, yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes, Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid are sort of in the playoffs, but like, it's really just Jokic, and then the rest, it's like Chet, Anthony Edwards.
It's like you're 25 or you're 35.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, well, here's, can I give you a theory here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hold on. Let me just pull this up real quick. So here are the first overall draft picks from the beginning of this decade that we're in right now. John Wall,
Okay. Poor
Kyrie
guy.
Irving,
All right, he's in.
Anthony Davis. Then you have Anthony Bennett, Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Well, he's
Still in the
in.
playoffs, but like the third most important player on his team.
Is he
Ben
third? He might be
Simmons.
fourth. He
Ben
might honestly
Simmons.
be fifth.
Yeah. And then you have Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz,
Oh my
and
God.
DeAndre Ayton before you get to Zion Williamson.
Well, but even
That is a
then.
well, and then after that, you get Edwards, Cade Cunningham, Paolo Banchero, Wemby. I would say it is a little early to rule out Cade Cunningham, who just missed his, I mean, his team is terrible, but he missed his second season.
He was honestly awesome in those terrible
Yeah, I mean, he had a
games,
broken
yeah.
leg that they didn't diagnose correctly. Like
Yeah.
that's but that is a rough like 2013 through 2018 is like 6 years without a real number one pick, number one pick. I don't know. And I mean, like you look, I mean, you can kind of see that with one reason I think LeBron was partly so dominant is that a lot of the number one picks that followed him, like Dwight Howard, actual rival,
Yeah.
Andrew Bogut, had some
No.
injuries, bad situation. But then you have like Andrea Bargnani, Greg Oden, and then injury-plagued Derrick Rose and injury-plagued Blake Griffin, injury-plagued John Wall. It kind of opens the playing field for whoever was there before, you
My
know?
only argument there would be Kevin Durant that Oden year kind of just counts as the de
Oh
facto
yeah.
number one
You know what?
pick.
Fair enough, fair
Yeah.
enough. But yeah, even like before LeBron, you have a Kenyon Martin, Kwame
Right.
Brown, Yao Ming.
Yeah.
Oh, and an Olatunde lead is before that. So
Yeah.
it's like, yeah, I can see where there's the gap. You know what I mean? Like the gap is there. No, I mean, and you know, Jason Tatum's the real number one pick in 2017, you know. But
Jokic and Giannis are the number one picks in their drafts.
yeah. But it's just weird. Like you look at 2016 and Jaylen Brown's the best guy in that
Yeah.
draft. And then you go all the way down and it's like Sabonis and Pascal Siakam. It's weird. You just have these like, I mean, I guess Jamal Murray's like the second best player, but or third best. Anyway, it is kind of crazy that there's like a hole in the talent pool like that, basically.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's interesting is that we kind of haven't gotten to the point where these guys who were superstars have adjusted to being role players, which is a little bit odd. And part of it has to do with, I think, the Supermax. Because in theory, you would kind of want someone like LeBron to be able to be in an Oscar Robertson type role, but the guys on his team aren't good enough for him to be able to play like 32 minutes in a playoff
Well,
game a day. I mean, that's like self, he put together the team, so, but.
I think, look, this is not a popular statement that I often make, but
Okay.
it's a strange, Anthony Davis is a strange NBA player in that he's been awesome. He's like a Hall of Famer. But he's also not as good as Anthony Davis is so both supposed to be and should be. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, like a guy that played like pretty awesome for a really large percentage of this series and then was too tired to take a shot in the fourth quarter for
But
any game of a
also,
five-game
like, even
series,
just
basically.
outside of that, like, Anthony Davis in college was like Wembanyama.
Yes.
Right? Like he was like this, like, he was like this, like, change. He was like a defensive, like, changing force.
Yes.
He averaged like 8 blocks a game in the NCAA tournament or something like that. He was like consistently blocking corner 3-pointers.
He was an insane player. He was so good that he basically made his teammate go number 2.
Yeah. And he
I still
never
kind of believe in Michael
that?
Kidd Girl Chris even sir. Now. I'm like, I just need the right situation.
But he got to New Orleans and kind of wasn't that guy. He was like he was awesome.
Yeah.
But he was never like Wemby this year was like what Anthony Davis was in our minds.
Yes. And I
like
I
4
will
blocks
say...
a game and 2 steals.
And
instant depoy, like,
yeah. Well, we've mentioned this before, but and again, it's like it's not even. I mean, it's a knock on him, obviously, but it's sort of not something he can necessarily help. I just think he has a very
low tolerance
yeah. for pain, because even in this playoffs, there were moments where he would get hit, he would crumple to the ground, the Lakers would take a timeout, and he wouldn't even leave the game.
Yeah.
And there's a certain... You look at New Orleans, and yes, they didn't surround him with the most ideal team, but part of that was that they were constantly acquiring centers,
mm-hmm.
so their giant shot-blocking man could play power forward, and you... Part of that, you fault the Pelicans, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Anthony Davis was very in on getting like Omer Asik.
He's a weird case.
Like, it's just a weird. It's weird that he like because there are some guys who, okay, there are guys who are more comfortable, who are very big and rim protectors, but like. Normally, that's like Maxi Kleber.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Who's like, I'm actually more comfortable playing power forward, but also I shoot these threes, and there are some advantages to it. And also, I'm coming off the bench.
And also, I'm
it's not like an
as
MVP.
Tall as you think I am. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
and Anthony Davis, it just feels like, I don't know. I just wonder if he had a different attitude towards the center position, because Victor Wembanyama was playing power forward for like 25 games mm-hmm. this year. And then he was like, oh, right. I'm a 7-4 shot blocker. It makes no sense for me to not be playing center
and
by
look,
the basket.
Is some of this attitude coming from a man whose franchise was completely destroyed because Chris Webber wouldn't play center? Yes.
Yes.
So I might be wrong, but I don't know. Just a weird guy. Lakers are a weird team. I don't know what they're gonna do. Wouldn't it be funny if LeBron just retired?
I mean, that would be the funniest thing that could happen. We do need to talk about the Lakers, because LeBron once again has leverage. Like, he hasn't, I don't think he's actually been able to be a free agent since 2018,
yeah, since he signed with the
Lakers, if I'm not mistaken, because
yeah.
he keeps getting like a 1+1.
Yeah.
So he actually will be a free agent,
mm-hmm.
which mainly gives him the leverage
to have the
choose
Lakers
the new head coach,
signed, have JJ Redick, his podcaster,
oh my God.
His podcast
I am
be,
waiting for that. I'm sure his podcast
is throw
fine.
JJ under the bus so fast.
Oh my God. It seems like JJ Redick is very interested in becoming an NBA head coach.
Which I
this
don't understand
like,
why.
When you have like seems like he's making a lot of money. He was elevated to the main broadcast team. He has a podcast that's produced
two podcasts.
Well, and
he owns
and they're both,
the media company
he owns
that
them.
Runs
he owns
them.
The
yeah.
media companies yeah. behind these. Like,
uh-huh.
clearly a profitable business. And also, even though he's really big on, like, I do all this research, podcasting's not that hard. Mm-hmm. All right. It's, you're making a mistake in thinking that head coach is a better job than successful podcaster.
It's so much work being a head, like, coach of an NBA team. But you know what? Maybe his wife has finally gotten run out of the charter school that she was trying take over in New York. So they have
He's got to leave. He's got to move to the other coast.
Yeah.
I feel like she would find some like-minded people in Los Angeles. I don't know. But yet that, I'm hoping for this so much. It's not fair to Darvin Ham. I don't think Darvin Ham did a bad job. It's just not
really
that good.
He did a bad job. He didn't play the, like, okay. They're starting five with Rui Hachimura that they had, like, all that success with after the trade deadline last year. He did not start starting again until 2 weeks left in the season, Sean.
I still don't really believe in Rui Hachimura,
That's also the thing. Sure. But I agree with Lakers fans that he should have been playing Rui Hachimura over Taurean Prince.
Yeah. I mean, I've been tricked by Taurean Prince myself. Like, you look at him and you're like, this is an effective player. He's a steal at the mid-level. And then, like, you watch enough. This is the first year where I've really watched a lot of Taurean Prince games. I think we got into this with Harrison.
Yeah.
But then you watch and you're like, I don't know what's going on. Like, he, it's like the eye test doing you wrong. Like, well, you really just need to look at the numbers with him. Well, and you're, Sean, like, oh, not a lot going on there.
Sean, actually, that leads me to a question for you.
Yes.
The Lakers, the Warriors, the Suns.
Yes.
All are in various trouble, I would say. Who would you rather be the GM of?
Oh, man. I think I would pick the Lakers.
I also think I would.
I really would, because it just seems like it's hard to be a coach. It's hard to be, like, a point guard there. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's great
really easy
to
be
an
GM.
Executive. Yeah. Like, Magic Johnson didn't even have to go to work. They didn't even fire him. He quit. Like, he didn't go to work anymore for like a whole season.
Yeah.
And was also telegraphing his location by posting photographs of himself and, like, weird real estate seminar guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even, like, famous people. Magic will post a picture if you invite him to an event. And so, I mean, maybe Rob Pelinka just has some extra status from his Kobe representation or something, but I just feel like you could be an NBA GM for the Lakers for quite some time, as long as you're, like, nice to Frank Hamlin.
Well,
you laugh at Jeannie's jokes.
Rambuses.
Yeah, yeah. Like get Linda a present on your first date. You don't even have to be nice to Kurt. Just Linda. And so, I mean, I guess, like, none of them have great options. Mm-hmm. But one of them feels almost unfireable. Like, Mitch Kupchak worked there forever. Jerry West worked there forever. Like, it's, who's ever fired for incompetence except, like, a coach that's forced out or hired by accident? You know what I mean? Like, I guess the coaching situation got kind of volatile when the Bad Brothers had a little more influence, when they were like literally an hour away from just bringing Phil Jackson back indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And then didn't one of the brothers overrule that or something like that?
Well, they also fired Frank Vogel for kind of no reason.
That's true. That's true.
He didn't win a championship.
He won a championship 2 years later, out on his ass. And the problem was that he traded for Russell Westbrook. Wait a second. He didn't actually do that. Suddenly, Frank Vogel could not coach as well without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Kyle Kuzma instead of a surly, ball-hogging... Russ was doing his best.
We've said nice things about
Russ. It was a bad fit.
Bad fit.
It wasn't a personal...
No, don't call him Westbrook.
I wouldn't yell that at him.
No.
I've referred to him as that in print, but it's always it's always someone else saying it that I'm reporting on. That's lazy. That's like a child's nickname.
All right, that's our episode. Yeah. This was a long one. Sorry we missed last week and didn't preview the playoffs. Sean's getting married. I have other things going on.
If you want, you can read me on Yardburger. I am writing about every playoff game, basically. My workday has been at weird times, I'll say that.
Sean.
Yeah. I have a good history of Patrick Beverly's last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up.
Your
podcast this year. Yeah.
Listen to Jeff's special.
Watch. Oh yeah, yeah. Check that
out. Listen and watch Jeff's special. Yeah, that was 2 hours ago that we interviewed him. But yes. And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where one day ago I tweeted, I need to see a sleep specialist. This is getting bonkers.
Ooh.
And,
oh, man.
Instead of playing a song this week, I think I instead am going to play a clip from... the Lakers GM and new coach talking about what they're going to do this offseason.
I play a lot of chess, not in real life. I've a lot of people have told me you should play chess because you'll be great. I've never played chess, but in my mind, in theory, I feel like I play chess on the floor.
Yeah. Press the process, shut it down, let's go.
Press the process.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.